Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 25, and I'm going to share something with you that I've wanted to do for a long time. I want to share something with you that you might hear again sometime because I want to share with the whole church. But I would think that probably if I were to go around this room and ask each one of you if you could have the answer to one question from the Lord, what would it be? And all of you, I think, all of us would want to know the answer to some question regarding the Lord's will for your life. Many of you are saying, well, what does God want me to do as far as my vocation? Some of you are facing that just immediately. Some of you are saying, what does God want me to do about marriage? And it's always interesting thing to ask the Lord. And you're tired of learning patience, aren't you? And it's time to get married. But you're at the time of your life when you're facing some really crucial issues about how to know the will of God. And how you live and how you walk, you must know the will of God. See, you can't walk in faith unless you know the Lord's will. A lot of people say, well, there's such a thing as blind faith. I don't think that's true. Well, maybe there is such a thing as blind faith, but it's not biblical faith. You know, this, somebody's probably got this in a poster in the room, and I'm just fixing to destroy what they thought was so neat. But, I mean, I'm not the oracle. You can still keep the poster up. But this poster that says faith is going to the edge of the darkness and taking one more step, you know, I think that's not true. Because Jesus never tells you to step out in the darkness, does He? He always turns on the light. And He says, now step in the light. Walk in the light. So God never wants you to take a step without knowing His will. Because you can't stand in faith unless you know what God's told you. But if you know what God has said is His will, now it may not be a will. He may not tell you His will about the outcome, but He will always tell you His will about your behavior. What you're to do right now, and you can step out and move. He'll always give you enough light to know how to move and how to act and how to be what He wants you to be in that particular situation. And that way you can really stand in faith and really move in faith. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not a faith of sin. And also goes on to say that the only thing that's going to overcome the world is faith. So faith is the key issue. Now, so how do you get to know the will of God? All right? And this would be, I think, some things that you want to put in the back of your Bible or on a sheet of paper to kind of look at from time to time. All right? Let me make two or three preliminary statements about how to know the will of God. First of all, these two statements. God's will for your character is universal. It's always the same for everybody. God's will for your character is universal. And what is His will for your character? What is His will for your character? That you be like Christ. That you be conformed to the image of God's Son. It's the same thing for Debbie as it is for me and Donnie and Larry. It's identical for all of us. God's will for your character is universal, that you be conformed to the image of God's Son. But listen, secondly, God's will for your service is particular and personal. It's different from everybody. God's will for Ralph is different than for me and for Debbie and for Mike. God has something different planned for every person in this room as far as your daily life and your future and who you're to marry. If God's will wasn't different for who you are to marry, we'd all marry the same girl. And that's not right. So God's will for your character is universal, but God's will for your service is specific and personal. Now listen to this statement. If you will follow God's prescribed will about your character, then finding God's will about your service is no problem. If you will follow God's prescribed will about your character, if you allow Him to conform you to the image of His Son, and you will follow Him in that respect, then finding His will about your service is no problem. Most of the people who have the hardest time finding God's will about their service are the people who are not following God's will about their character. And they can't hear God. God says, I'm not so interested, you see, in showing you my will about your service. What I'm interested in is making you like me. That is my main function. That is my main work in you. And I will use this experience and I will withhold my will to show you the fact that I'm more concerned about your character than I am about your ministry or your particular service. Because if you don't have your character right, you don't have a ministry. See? So, if you'll follow God's prescribed will about your character, finding His will about your service is no problem. Now, how do we support that with Scripture? Well, there's a thousand different places. Look with me in Psalm 25, and let's just read a couple of verses together. He says, make me to know thy ways, O Lord, verse 4. Teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, for thee I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me, for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the meek or the humble in justice. He teaches the humble or the meek man His way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenants and His testimonies. And then look at verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord, the intimate counsel of God, is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. Isn't that great? The secret of the Lord. Boy, you want to know the secret of the Lord, then you fear God. Now, what the psalmist said, he said, listen, the guy that I will instruct, the guy that I will show my way, is the man who walks in fear of me, who is a meek, a broken man. It's just the same way you've heard the old illustration of a horse, you know, who is wild and wants to go his own way. And so we come and we go through a process that we call breaking that horse. And he's still just as powerful, still has just as much strength as he ever had. But finally, when that horse is broken, he comes under the control of his master. And if he is trained a particular way, when that master touches the reins on his neck, he'll move this direction or this direction. He'll halt, he'll move. He is totally submissive to the will of his master. And the master has no problem telling that horse which way to go. Why? His character is right. His spirit is right. He is meek. He is humble. He fears his master. And so the horse has no trouble hearing his master. Now, if you're having trouble hearing God, the problem is not with God withholding His will about that particular thing. The problem is probably a problem with your character, a problem with your spirit. Because the Bible says the meek He will guide in His way. The secret intimate counsel of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Okay? Now, let me make three other statements that I think are really important that are prerequisites for knowing the will of God. When I come to want to know God's will about a particular thing, I need to ask myself three questions. Number one, am I a child of God? Am I a child of God? God speaks to His own, you see. And why should God speak to you about some particular area of service or ministry if you're not even His child? I remember because the first thing He wants to speak to you about is your relationship to Him. My sister-in-law, Tom, most of you know Tom, his wife Jeannie, was made a profession of faith at a very early age. And she kept having doubts about her salvation. And she'd come to Tom and say, Tom, I don't think I'm a Christian. He said, oh, Jeannie, you're a pastor's wife, you know. And they'd talk about it, though, seriously, and kind of ease her fears about it. Finally, and she had the hardest trouble ever making decisions and living the way life was supposed to be lived. And finally, she realized she was not saved. She'd never given her life to Christ. And she told Tom one day in their home, she said, listen, I don't care what you say. I've never really made a full commitment of my life to Christ. Christ has not come to live inside of me. And so they knelt there and she did that. And she made this statement. She said, you know, it's so much easier to live the Spirit-filled life when you're a Christian. Well, that is a kind of a stupid statement. But I want to tell you something. One of the main reasons that God may have brought an important decision in your life, and I would say the primary reason that He has brought that into your life, is to deal with you about your relationship to Him. And the first question that must be asked is, am I a child of God? Am I a Christian? Because He speaks to His own. All right. The second thing that has to be asked is this. Am I obeying God in the areas that He's already spoken to me about? Am I already obeying God in the areas that He's already spoken to me about? You know, people come in, I just can't find God's will. Well, do you know God's will about this thing that you're doing that's wrong? Yeah, I know that I shouldn't be doing that, but I want to know about... No, wait a minute. You can't go to square two and square three until you take care of square one. Now listen, why should God tell you His will about a new thing when you're not obeying in the area of the old thing He's already told you about? Why should God reveal His will to you and say, do this, when He's already told you something to do and you're not doing it? And I think God withholds this. It's the same thing He said to the Pharisees. He said, you read the Scriptures and you think that in them you find eternal life, but it's these that speak of Me, but you are unwilling to come to Me. Now the problem with the Pharisees was that they were unwilling to take the steps that they already knew were right. They knew, I think, that Jesus was the Messiah, but they were unwilling to make that step and that commitment and that area of obedience. And He said, man, you can search the Scriptures day and night, but you're not going to find the truth of God until, first of all, you obey Me and what I've already spoken to you about. Are you already obeying God in the areas that He's already spoken to you about? You've got to ask yourself that question. And again, let me remind you that one of the reasons the issue of God's will about something in your life may have come up is because God wants to deal with your character and your obedience. Thirdly, and this is a real kicker, are you willing to obey God's will before you know what it is? Are you willing to obey God's will before you know what it is? God speaks to yielded men. God speaks to yielded men. And I think there's something in the fact that God says, I want you to come to a decision, first of all, that you're willing to obey Me. You know what we want to do with God? We want to do kind of like we do at the first of every semester. We want to get the whole sheet and look at all the courses and then take our options, see. We say, you tell Me Your will. What is Your will? Kind of tell it to me. And I'm not, in my heart, you know, I say yes, but deep down in my heart, I'm not really know whether I really want to do that or not. But you kind of tell me what it is, and then I'll decide whether I want to do that or not. No, you don't play that kind of game with God, with a holy God. Are you willing to obey God in that area of your life before you know what it is? Those are three prerequisites. Am I a child of God? Am I obeying God in the areas that He's already spoken to me about, and am I willing to do God's will before I even know what it is? Now, F.B. Meyer said this beautiful illustration. He said there was a channel that led to a harbor. It was a narrow channel and treacherous. On either side was sharp reefs. Cecil, would you open that window just a little bit? It's getting a little warm in here to me. Okay. But there were reefs on either side, and there was a narrow channel. And you had to come into that harbor, you had to come right down the middle of that channel or you're in trouble. How do they remedy? How do they take care of that problem? What they did was they put three lighthouses in a row, and just in direct line with the middle of that channel. And so a ship that was coming in knew that if they only saw one light, they were right on target. If they veered to the right or to the left and saw two lights or three lights, they knew they were off. And they came back till they saw one light. In the same way, God has given us some lights in knowing God's will. And when all those lights come into line, into focus, we have good assurance to know that this is the will of God for my life. What are those lights? Let's look at them for just a moment. First of all, there is the light of God's Word. The light of God's Word. I think that God reveals His will to us through biblical principles and through biblical promises. Okay? And some folks would disagree with me about this, but through biblical principles and through biblical promises. Now, two or three things. Number one, God is not going to lead you to do anything that contradicts the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, don't come to me and say, well, God told me not to tithe, you know, or God told me, you know, that I should rebel against this authority and I'm just a special case and, you know, everybody. Don't come and say that to the Lord. Because you see, the Spirit of God who's speaking to you is the Spirit who authored those words. And He will never violate what He has said. Now that makes it very crucial for you. If you're a person who always said, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that, it makes it crucial for you to know what the principles of the Word of God are. Because I want to tell you something, and listen very carefully. I want to say something that I think is tremendously important for young college students and career people. For you as young believers, there is a tremendous possibility of hearing all kinds of voices in your head. And I have had people tell me, God told me to do this. God is moving me to do this. And the problem was that it was something that violated Scripture or that just really wasn't something that honored God. And they had heard another voice in their head. And I want you to know that the Bible says Satan parades as what? As a big old demon? No. As an angel of light. And you better be very careful when you say, God told me to do this, without any scriptural grounds or any scriptural backing, because it may not have been the voice of God. You need to learn how to test the spirits. You need how to listen to godly, mature counsel from others. And I think you all have a heart and a desire to do that. I want to tell you, the Bible says of itself, this is phenomenal. Is it 1 Timothy 3:16 or 2 Timothy? It's 1 Timothy, isn't it? Where it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly adequate, thoroughly equipped. Now, I think that a lot of the things that we kind of have to wander around about finding God's will, you know, and just have to, that we are searching about, if we were just students of Scripture, that there's already a principle that covers every area of life. And if I knew what God said from Genesis to Revelation, I would have no problem in every situation. I'd be able to stand up and say, this is God's will. This is God's will. This is God's will, because He's already laid it out. I think the Scripture gives us everything we need to know. The Bible says it will make you thoroughly adequate for every good work. So God, that puts a tremendous burden on us, doesn't it? And when I began to see this just not too long ago, it made me have a greater hunger than ever before to get into the Scripture to find out what it said and to hide it in my heart. Because if I did that, I could be a guy that could stand up in any given situation, because I would be thoroughly adequate and say, this is God's will based on this passage of Scripture. Okay? So God is going to speak to you. A lot of the questions that you have and wondering about would not be questions if we just get in the Word of God and know what it says. God speaks to us through biblical principles. I think also at times God speaks to us through what a lot of people would call a Bible promise. Preacher Halleck used to call a Bible promise, or a word from the Lord, you could say. And that God, there are times in our life, and I don't think that God does this just kind of an everyday type thing particularly, but there's unique times in our life when maybe there's an area that is a gray area that God just takes a verse of Scripture and speaks it to our heart, and we know this is God's will for me. I remember when I was in Seattle one summer and a church up there asked me to come be a youth director and work there and go to college up there, and I really wanted to do it and felt good, excited about it and everything. And I just didn't know. And I asked the Lord, Lord, the only thing I know to do at this young stage of my life is ask You to just speak to me from the Word. and tell me what to do. And I was reading in my regular reading, and I think one of the prerequisites for getting a Bible promise or a word from the Lord, as we see in John 15, 4 and 5, is that I've got to be abiding in Him. You know, you can't just run into God and open the book and get a Bible promise and close it and not put it on the shelf for 6 months, you know. It's like the guy who got his Bible and wanted to know God's will, and he flipped it open and said, "Wherever my finger lands," and he put it down on that verse that said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, "No, that can't be right." So he flipped it to another passage and it said, "Go and do thou likewise." He thought, "Well, that can't be it." So he flipped it over to another passage and put his finger down and it says, "What thou doest, do quickly." Well, that is not, you can come in real danger. And the prerequisite for getting a word from the Lord or hearing God like that is John 15, 4 and 5, I think, is abiding in the Word. Really abiding in Christ, which means that I am remaining in a stable, constant fellowship and relationship with Him. I'm not just abiding in Christ today. I could say of my life, I've been abiding in Christ this month or this year. But abiding is a long-term kind of word. So sometimes, if this particular thing in Seattle, I was just reading in my regular reading and came to that passage of the Gadarene demoniac, which was real fitting for my life, and who had been healed and was clothed in his right mind, and he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, "No, go back to your country and tell them, your own hometown, and tell them what great things God has done for you." And it was as if God, a Bible promise like this, a word from the Lord, I think, is not something that you reach in and grab. It's something that reaches out and grabs you. And that reached out and grabbed me and said to my heart, "This is my will for you, to go home to your own country and tell them what great things God has done this summer." So there are times, I think, when God speaks to us through a particular promise. Now, there's real danger there, and you got to be real careful. And you say, one of the main questions that people say to me about that is, "Well, how do I know that what I'm hearing is really of God, you know, and that I'm just not reading into that?" Well, the only way that I know to answer that question is to say that the way that you learn to hear your mother's voice was by spending a lot of time with her. And the more time you spent with her, the easier it was to hear her voice and to recognize it immediately. I think that's the same way with finding a word from the Lord. You know, some people say, "Well, that kind of procedure is too open, it's too subjective, you know, it's too much possibility for error. But listen, everything, reading the Bible is real open to error, you know. I mean, you can read all kinds of things. You can get off base. The issue is you just got to stay under solid Bible teaching and stay at it. I asked Manly Beasley one time, who's one of the greatest men, you know, hears God and that kind of thing. I said, "Manly, did you ever just blow it? You know, did you ever get a word from the Lord and it was just totally wrong?" He said, "Listen, the first of my life, I blew it all the time." And he said, "It took me 4 years of really staying in the Word and really listening to God and using these principles before I began to consistently, faithfully hear the Lord and hear a word from Him." So there's a process of maturing that goes on, of weeding out all the stuff that we've been hearing for 25 years and beginning to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. But God speaks to us through His Word, through biblical principles and biblical promises. Secondly, God speaks to us, I think, through what we will call the inner witness of the Spirit. The inner witness of the Spirit. You know that verse in Romans 8 that says, if you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God, and those that are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And it says, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. In the deepest part of your life is your human spirit. I believe that human spirit, the Bible says, is the part that before you became a Christian was dead. And when Christ came in, the Bible says He quickened you, He made you alive, and that the Holy Spirit came to live. And it's a marriage relationship. In fact, our physical marriages, the real purpose of marriage, I don't think, is procreation of the race as much as it is to picture to the world what a man's relationship is with God. As my spirit submits to His spirit, and they are joined together, and the two become one. In the same way, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live with your spirit, and they join together. And the Bible says that's why we're able to call God our Father, because we've been married to His Son, Jesus Christ, you see. And we're able to call Him on intimate terms. And the Spirit, it says, bears witness with our spirit. Well, what does a witness do? It just tells about what he's seen and heard. So the Spirit of God inside of us tells us things that we need to know. That inner deep voice. Now here again, there must be real caution, and there's a growth in maturity that goes on. But there is a real possibility to hear voices and attribute that to the Spirit of God that's not the Spirit of God at all. But there is a very real element in our Christian life of how the Lord leads us, of that deep inner witness of the Spirit. Somebody says to me, how are you a Christian? You say, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know how I know I know. I just know that I know that I know. Well, how do you know that you know? Well, I know because the Spirit of God is bearing witness with my spirit. He's telling me that I'm His child, and that's the only way I know how to explain it. Look at Colossians 3:15. You may know it, but it's a great verse. And some of you have seen this before, but Colossians 3:15. While you're turning to that passage, some of you might want to open up your eyes. all right. Everybody goes, oh, me? okay. It says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's the only part I want to look at. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. All right, some of you know that that word rule in the Greek is a word that it was an athletic term. And it's a term that simply means to act like a referee, act like an umpire. It's an athletic term. And what Paul was saying is this. You're going along in a football game. And when a foul is committed, the umpire, the referee, blows the whistle and play stops until that foul is taken care of and the yards are marked off. And then when everything's right, play resumes. And the umpire steps out of the way. You don't see him. You don't hear him. But when a foul is committed, he steps in and he blows the whistle. In the same way, God says, I want you to let God's peace act like a referee and umpire in your heart. And when that peace is destroyed, when the whistle is blown, know that it's time to stop the game and check things out and see what's wrong with it. Holly and I have a little axiom for our marriage that many people have that you've heard before, but it's saved us untold misery and led us so many times. Based on the Scripture, we say, when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. You know why? Because anything that I do, any decision that I make at stepping out on doubt is not a faith, is it? Doubt is not a faith. If I've got question about the issue, it's not a faith. And whatever is not a faith is sin. See? Do you think God, who cares about you, who saved you, who transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, is big enough to clear up doubt in your heart? Why, sure He is. And He may be using that process of doubt to teach you some things in your life, see, and keep you on edge and keep you coming back to Him. He may want you to be in doubt for a time, see. So when in doubt, don't do it. Let the peace of Christ rule like an umpire. And you say, I don't have peace. I don't. The Spirit of God has not borne witness with my spirit. I do not have the inner witness of the Spirit that this thing is right in my life. Remember one time I wanted to buy a stereo. And this, there are just thousands of illustrations in your life and in mine like this. But I remember I wanted to buy a stereo. I thought I had all kinds of reasons to justify. You know, I'd saved up the money. I wasn't going into debt, you know, far be it from me to go into debt. And so I had all this money. I thought, you know, well, I'm having children here. What a great thing to have Christian music and atmosphere. You know, I really had this thing justified. And so I went down to the stereo place and I started to pull into that thing. And I mean, God said, the Spirit of God said, no. And I said, but I got the money. I mean, you know, it's great. No, just said no. And it was just the Spirit of God bearing witness with my spirit. Boy, I just felt an uneasiness. I just knew that it was the wrong thing to do. So I pulled out of the parking lot. I don't always do that, but this time pulled out of the parking lot and went home. Well, that Sunday I was sharing some things on this same line. And I shared that illustration, you know, that Halligott had the inner witness of the Spirit, had moved and that kind of thing. Guy walked up to me after the service. He said, "Do you really want a stereo?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, come follow me and Monday." And so his brother-in-law was the head of a plant or something at this Morse Electronic place, and he took me in there and just walked over and gave me a stereo. Just said, "Well, we got a bunch of these other here. You just take it." You know, and God, it was just another evidence of the fact that God was saying, if you will listen to me, you know, if you will get to the point where you're knocking out the garbage and you're really listening to and discerning the spirits and you're listening to me, I'll do far beyond what you ever ask or think. See? The inner witness of the Spirit is very important. Don't abuse it. Don't lay things on God that God told me to do this that's not of God. And that, you say, well, how do I ever know? Well, it puts a tremendous responsibility on you to get into the Word and spend time with God so that you will know that this is the voice of the Spirit of God. And ask God, say, "God, would you protect me from error? Would you put a hedge about me so that I would not attribute anything to you that's not of you? But Father, the desire of my heart, the statement of my life is, if there's any doubt, I won't do it. I mean, if I have a question about buying a sweater, I'm not going to do it, God, if there's not the inner witness of the Spirit there. If I have a question about taking these courses or doing this thing, Father, I'm going to wait until you bring this thing in line and I have that calm assurance that I'm in the center of the will of God, because God is big enough to clear up doubt. He's big enough to do it." The Word of God, the inner witness of the Spirit, two other things I want to mention real briefly. One is the counsel of mature Christian friends. Proverbs 15:22, "An abundance of counselors, there is victory." All through Proverbs, you can see again and again that God says, listen, get counsel. And I want to tell you something. If you are doing something or planning to do something or make a step and you say, well, it's God's will, I know that it's God's will. Now listen, but those in authority over your life and those people who you know have a walk with God say to you, "I'm not so sure about that," or "that's not right," you better listen carefully. Because very rarely you'll ever find in Scripture when God would violate the counsel of mature, godly Christian friends. He uses that. In abundance of counselors, there's victory. Now, that's not to say that sometimes, you know, you get some counsel that's wrong. But that's a real good. Boy, I have spent my life getting counsel from my father and my brothers. My phone bill is phenomenal. But I want to tell you, it has saved me many a heartache, many a pain a lot of times, when I'd be willing to listen to their counsel, see. Why? Because they know more of the Word than I know. They've been down the path longer than I have, and they have some real wisdom to give to me. And I wouldn't make a step if it violated all the counsel that I seem to be getting from godly Christian friends. I don't have a hold on the truth, see. I'm not the only person that can hear God. And it may be that they might be God's instruments in my life, protecting me and telling me what the will of the Lord is. Okay? So, these lights need to become into line. The Word of God, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, the godly counsel of mature Christian friends. There's one other thing that comes into play, and I mention it last because I think that it's last in importance. And that is outward circumstances. Outward circumstances. Now, you know the way that you have found God's will, that most people find God's will? They say, well, I'm just going to walk, Lord. I'm just going to kind of charge out here like a bull in a china closet, and you open or shut the doors. And if the doors are open, I'll go through them. If they're not, you know. Well, that is really, to me, and I have done that in my own life, and I think God just kind of honors that in our ignorance, you know, as we're growing in the Lord. But that, to me, is a real cop-out in finding God's will. That's a real cop-out. That's placing the whole thing on Him when God wants to teach me the process. Man, I tell you what, the greatest lessons, and Holly can verify this, the greatest lessons I have learned in my life have been the times that I have been agonizing over the will of God. The times that I've been closest to the Lord. The times that I have been thrown on my knees and saw God and heard Him more than any other time. Are the times when I had to go through the agonizing process of finding the will of God. And the greatest teaching times have been those times. Now I would have never known those times if my attitude towards the will of God had been, well, Lord, if you just close the doors or open the doors, I'll go through them and just trust it outward circumstances. Now, the reason I say that is because there is another force in this earth that can duplicate circumstances for you. And they're the forces of darkness. And something, you know, doors may just open up right and left. And you say, well, just this must be the will of God. Hey, wait a minute. It may not be the will of God. You know, we were walking along on Oral Roberts campus one day, and I really don't know how to evaluate, just very honestly with you. And I guess it's not my place to, but to evaluate Oral Roberts and his ministry and everything. But just to illustrate, we were walking on that campus, and I was just going through in my mind, well, is this thing really of God? You know, I just don't know. Is he really of God, or is he not? And I just trying to. And one guy said, well, he must be of God. This must be of God. Look at all these buildings. Look at all the money. Look at how beautiful this thing and how perfectly it's put in place. And it just has to be of God. And I said, no, that's not true. See, ungodly men, the forces of darkness can build buildings and raise money and have plans and have programs. Now, don't go away from here saying that I said, you know, Oral Roberts was demon-possessed or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying at all. You understand that. I'm just using that to illustrate. Don't always take the sign of your outward circumstances and how you view them in our Americanized, humanistic kind of philosophy and value system and understanding. Don't always view those doors as an indication of God's will, because it may not be. Remember with me that God's will for your character is universal. And God's will for your service is particular. If you will follow God's prescribed will about your character, finding His will about your service is no problem. And I want to submit to you, as I briefly mentioned a moment ago in closing, that I think God, as you come to decide about your vocation, about your life's mate, about where to live and what to do, and these little decisions of every day, I think God is more concerned about the process than He is about the end result. I really do. I think He's more concerned about what He wants to teach you and what He wants to do in your life through this process of finding His will and struggling with that and testing the spirits and diving into the Word of God to find biblical principles and biblical promises and getting the counsel of mature, godly Christian friends. I think God is more interested in that process than He is finally at that point when He says, this is my will, and letting you step into it. Because His main concern for your life is making you into the image of His Son. And one of the greatest tools that He has is confronting you with the will of God for your life. Well, let's bow together and have a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for this time together. And I pray, Lord, for each person that's here, that You would make us willing to do Your will. Lord, You're not going to speak to us until we come to that point. And I pray, Father, that You do whatever You need to do in our lives to make us hungry to be obedient to You. Show us, Father, the drastic consequences of not following Your prescribed will for our life. And teach us, Lord, how to be men and women who can walk in faith because we're walking, knowing we're standing upon the solid foundation of the Word and the will of God. Lord, make us have a holy fear of turning to the right or to the left and not following after the commandments of God. And make that drive us into the Word of God so that we can become equipped, thoroughly adequate for every good work. Thank You, Father, that the Bible says that according to Your divine nature, You have given to us everything we need to live and to live godly. And that by Your precious promises and learning them and standing on them, we become partakers of the divine nature and we're able to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lord, cause us to stand on Your promises and Your principles more and more. Thank You, Lord, as we look out to these 40 or 50 faces. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you desire to show your will to these individuals and to me more than we want to know it. Every time we come to a decision, Lord, you're more interested in us knowing it than we are. And if we'll just listen, you'll be faithful to tell us. So thank you, God, for that. And bless this to our hearing, Lord, that it might be sealed in our hearts and that the enemy would not have opportunity to pluck it from our hearts. But, Lord, seal these truths for your use and for your glory. We pray it in your precious name. Amen.